fight them off. For a moment he fully expected the pucker to get them both killed. Then, with a fierce battle cry and unbelievable dexterity that made a mockery of what Nick could do on a football field, the puck came up from the ground in Nick's body. He swung the Malachi sword and went after the others, fast and furious, and with a martial skill Nick envied. A part of him doubted he would ever be that good with a sword. But then he wasn't a god of war. Whoever the Pukka had been before his banishment, he must have been incredible on a battlefield, 'cause he still had it, and its evil cousin, and all its friends. In a matter of minutes, the Pukka had every single attacker scattered and fleeing into the night, begging for mercy and whimpering as they ran. Yeah, he had rung every bell as promised, and found a few in the field no one had seen. Barely breathing hard, he turned toward Nick and let loose a proud, arrogant smile that said he'd thoroughly enjoyed every second of that brisk fight. Laying the blade of the sword over his shoulder, he held his hand up before his face and made a tight fist. He kissed it reverently.
"I've so missed having a physical body. You just don't know, boyo. You just don't know."
The anguished joy in his voice concerned Nick greatly. "You are going to give that back, right?" He met Nick's gaze with a hooded, unfathomable stare. For a second, Nick thought he'd made a bad mistake. Until the Pukka held his hand out to him and grinned in friendship.
"Aaron, cursed, damned, and forgotten son of the Morrigan. Nice to meet you, Malachi."
Nick tried to shake his hand, only to see just how frustrating it was to be non-corporeal. No wonder Aaron hated it so. God, it sucked. Aaron snorted good-naturedly before he exchanged places with Nick again. Nick took a moment to fully appreciate his skin and, best of all, nerve endings before he faced Aaron's ghost form. The Puck's skin was pearly white and translucent, like shimmering moonlight. His pale eyes reminded him of Asheron's swirling silver ones. Even his hair was silvery white and long. He would be pretty, but for the masculine jawline and rugged air that clung to him, even though he was a ghostly white. His clothes were those of an ancient warlord, complete with a bare, muscled chest that showed battle scars and a stylized Celtic raven tattoo. Livia gaped at Aaron.
"I can't believe you kept your word to return his body."
Aaron raked a less than pleased stare over her.
"To you, I wouldn't have."
He inclined his head respectfully to Nick.
"You trusted me, and that I would never betray. Trust, much like a woman's love and affection, and brotherly friendship, is a sacred thing, and should never be lightly given, nor abused, nor taken for granted."
Nick shrank his Malachi sword down and returned it to his pocket. "How long have you been trapped here?"
Aaron shrugged. "Time has long lost all meaning to me. But not to you. Come, boy, I'll take you to the Nemid."
Nick narrowed his gaze. "How do you know about that?" A slow, charming grin curved his lips.
"I may be weakened, but I do still have some of me powers, and I was just in your body, privy to your thoughts and mission."
"Oh, there was that."
Larabeth finally swooped down to join them.
"I am to take him. 'Tis my mission and duty, Pukka, not yours."
Nick just loved how she couldn't help with the fight, but she could interfere with the help. How typical was that? Arching an arrogant brow, Aaron stared at the bird.
"I know this realm better than anyone."
He returned his silvery gaze to Nick.
"But you have to keep faith in me, Malachi. If you doubt me at all, for even an instant, I will vanish. Those are the laws of my existence. No matter what happens or what you see, you must continue to believe that I'm leading you to your destination. Do you understand?"
"Got it."
"Then follow me and ignore everything else."
He glared meaningfully at the bird.
"Especially the barking dogs who are trying to distract you from your goal."
"I'm not a dog, Pak."
"I'm not really a Pukka bird. I was born the son of the Morrigan and the Dugda."
Bemused by their banter, Nick did have one thing that concerned him about Aaron. "Before we start, can I ask you something?"
"Sure."
Why are you helping me? He glanced away, but not before Nick caught the bitter sadness in his shimmery gaze.
You freed Zevacon, where no Malachi ever has. For that kindness, I be owing you.
Nick scowled at the absolute last thing he'd ever expected Aaron to say. How do you know about that?
You are the Malachi. Had you drained him and returned him here to this hell to suffer more for that which he didn't do, he'd have immediately come home to me. And that he didn't.
Okay, take that earlier statement back. That was the absolute last thing Nick ever expected Aaron to say. His eyes widened in complete and utter shock.
Oh.
Aaron laughed at his gaping expression.
We are brothers and friends, Malachi. Nothing more.
Gotcha. Whatever you say. Looking around at the dark forest, Aaron sighed warily.
Here, family and friend are hard to come by. When you are lucky enough to find one, you hold on with both hands and treasure him or her with everything you are. I hope you will appreciate my brother and give him the regard he's due.
I'm trying, but he doesn't always make it easy.
Aaron laughed. None of us do, especially when you've been so bloody wounded by everyone around you. Just remember, you owe him your life. Had you not done right by him, I would have left you to them what wanted you today, and let them have their wicked ways with you.
He winked at Nick.
No matter what anyone else tells you about Zevacon, he's a good man, a loyal friend, better than any I know.
That's what I sense, too. Aaron inclined his head to him.
Listen to your heart, Malachi. It will never fail you. Other senses lie, especially the tongues of others, but it never does.
He turned into a small bluish-white light that hovered at eye level.
Now follow me, and I'll help you.
Livia curled her lip at Aaron's small, ghostly light form. He looks like a little fairy. Aaron snorted.
I am a little fairy in this form, woman. It's what a Pukka is. If you're trying to insult me masculinity, you'll have to try a lot harder. I was a Celtic warrior and war god who fought, wrestled, played, and went to war naked with other men, including me brothers and uncles. I'm quite comfortable in me skin and with me life choices, whatever they've been, excepting the stupidity what led me here. It'll take a lot more than some waspish wisp of a fish through calling me names to hurt me feelings and make me doubt myself.
Nick laughed. You remind me a lot of a dark hunter I know named Talon, of the Morrigantes. Must be a Dark Age Celt thing. Aaron didn't comment on that.
This is not the way to the Nemed,
Larabeth warned as she flew low next to Nick's shoulder.
Where are you taking us, Paka?
The shortest route through the cursed woods.
She called loudly before she spoke again.
It's a trap, Malachi. You cannot trust him. Puckas are all about deception and lies. Their jobs are to take unwary travelers into the woods and strand them there. It's what they do.
Aaron's light began to dim. I'm not doubting you, Aaron. Nick narrowed his gaze at both women. I have faith in people to do the right thing. It's what my mother taught me. Until I have a reason to, given to me by Aaron himself, I refuse to listen to the evil spewed against him by others. I will trust his actions and my gut instincts, not the words of others who don't know the truth of what lies in his heart.
Aaron hesitated. You are not a typical Malachi.
So everyone keeps telling me, though I'm not sure if it's a compliment or insult, the way they say it. Aaron laughed lightly as he led them through the dense forest. As they walked onward, Nick considered his earlier fight with the stick-and-stone people, and the Hail Mary play he hadn't had time to implement. Now that he had breathing room, perhaps it was time to do something he should have done a while ago. He pulled out his grimoire that was filled with pages where he could consult the spirit that, like Aaron, had been trapped by another's trickery. Caleb and Cody had told him that there was no way to free Nashira from the book. But he'd been thinking about that a lot lately, and it seemed to him that if a Malachi had trapped the yokai, Amalekai should be able to free her. Just like Nick had done with Zev and Livia, surely the book was just another type of dimensional prison, like this one, right? That made sense to him. If there was a way in, there had to be a way out, yin to yang. That seemed to be the one definite rule of the universe. But maybe they were right and he was wrong. There was still so much about being Amalekai he didn't understand, so much about all this that he was absolutely clueless on. Most of the time he felt like an infant trying to learn to walk. Unlike the others who'd come before him, he hadn't been raised by a demon mother or demon surrogate who'd instructed him from birth on his true nature. His burgeoning powers had been bound and hidden, restricted. He'd been weak and sickly, even for a human child. Until Ambrose had told him about all this, he'd had no idea of his true birthright, no idea of this hidden world or of any innate praetor ability. He'd only known it existed for less than 2 years. 2 years, that was it. Until he'd been shot by guys he thought were his friends, and saved by Kyrian or given a job, he'd had no idea about Dark Hunters, Daemons, Werehunters, or anything else. The concept of Amalekai was something he'd never dreamed about, even in his most delusional Nintendo manga-infested state. It still blew his mind whenever he really thought about it. So little time to adjust to it all, and yet it seemed like eternity in some ways, since the day he'd learned the truth. Like, he'd always known it was there somehow. Maybe it was a form of Malachi instinct that had sensed it was there long before the truth had been revealed. The hidden world just below the surface of the human one, always lurking in the shadows, watching him. Like that creature in the closet that all kids knew was there, it had vanished whenever a parent opened the door to investigate the darkness. Yeah, that dude was real too. And now that he knew who and what he was, the knowing was so dangerous, not just for him, but for those he loved and couldn't protect. Those like his mother, who were still unaware of the truth. It was bad enough for the Codys and Calebs who knew. It was so much more for those who had absolutely no clue. I have to learn to use and control this power, to master it, not to use it for harm, to keep his family and friends safe from all the ones who would hurt them to get to him. He'd tried to hide the powers so that his enemies couldn't find him and hurt them, and that hadn't worked. His only choice was to embrace them, to become what he was born to be, the Malachi. There were other creatures born of dark powers who didn't succumb to them, creatures who tapped the darkness for good and stayed anchored on the right side without corruption. Asheron, Zev, Caleb, Dagon. Aaron? The puck light paused.
Aye, lad.
Do you think you can show me how to control the Malachi within me? You know, like you were trying to tell me during the fight, all that stuff about using the pain and not the hate. Was that bullcrap or the truth? He laughed lightly before he continued on his path through the woods.
It's not control you need to learn.
How do you mean?
The Malachi is never controlled, boyo. He's unleashed.
His words only confused Nick more, but isn't that what we're trying to stop? Aaron paused before he took his human form so that he could stand even in height with Nick. Eye to eye, he met his gaze levelly.
Are you willing to trust me, Malachi? Really, trust me, not just with your life, but with the life of all you hold dear. To lay in me hands the hearts and souls of everyone who matters to you. Mother, lover, brother, family and friend. Think before you answer. Because once you walk this path, there's no way back for you. You'll either be saved or damned for eternity.
Chapter 14.
Why do you trust Aaron when you shouldn't?
Nick closed his grimoire as Livia came up to him. They were taking a short break to rest and eat before they renewed their journey into the deepest and most dangerous part of the forest. Why shouldn't I? She scowled at him in disbelief.
You don't know him at all.
I know him as well as I know you.
Livia snorted disrespectfully. I'm your Saru Ninim.
Yeah, right. Like, that made her better? How? He was supposed to implicitly trust one of the generals whose sole creation was to lead an army of demons to destroy the world? Sure, made sense. Never. As chosen by another Malachi. Not me, he gently reminded her. And still, she scoffed at his arguments. Aaron was so little trusted by his own family that he was banished here to this realm to live out eternity. Doesn't that give you any kind of qualms? No, not really. Why should it? Nick gestured to the forest around them. This is where one of my own generals was banished after his family cursed him. He gave her a pointed stare to remind her of how tenuous this argument was. Do you really want to open that deck, Liv? And have me ask why you were given your position and banished? Trust me, you can't win playing this hand. Think about it. She pressed her lips together as she fumed. I can teach you to use your powers too, you know. And every fiber of his being warned him against it. He didn't know why, but he didn't trust her. Not even a little bit. Liv, this isn't a contest. You're not winning or losing. Relax and breathe. She bristled. It feels like one. You always make me feel like I'm second place and unimportant with everyone, whether it's Cody or Caleb or Zavid, and now Aaron. I feel like you like everyone more than me. Was she serious? Or insane? Or just whiny and annoying? Nick couldn't believe she had all the power she did, and he had to placate her damaged ego for real? Yet he did. How could she be so needy and insecure? For that matter, how could she be so dense and immature? He was the teenager. She was thousands of years old. Surely she didn't need him to stroke her ego, did she? One look at the expression on her face, and it was apparent. She did. How weird was that? Sighing, Nick shook his head at her. Come on, Livia. Some of that can't be helped, and you know it. You are a very attractive woman, and you tend to stand a little too close to me at times. Meaning what? Meaning I love Cody, and I don't want her to get the wrong idea about us, nor do I want her feelings hurt. And not that I ever would, but I could sit naked on top of Caleb's lap all day long and spoon him in bed and eat from his spork at school while he hand-fed and burped me, and she wouldn't care. You sit next to me while she's across the table, and it's open war. That's not fair. Fair or not, it's how feelings work. I wouldn't care if she sipped on a single straw with Brynna during lunch or licked chocolate sauce from between Brynna's fingertips or shared a single shower stall with her and LaShonda after PE class. In fact, I've had that fantasy a few times. But if Cody ever held hands with Caleb or kissed his cheek, I'd go Liu Kang Mortal Kombat all over his giant hairy ass. He narrowed his gaze on her. As the queen of jealousy, you are well aware of how this works, so don't play all innocent with me like you don't know. She should trust you. Yeah, right. This isn't a matter of trust, and you know that. It's a matter of respect. Cody trusts me, and I trust her because we respect each other's feelings when we're together and apart, and we don't play those games with each other's emotions. I don't try to make her jealous, and she doesn't do that to me. We don't have to. So I'm sorry that you feel like you're second place, but you're not my girlfriend. And you're a little handsy with my body's no zones whenever you're near me, so I do and will always maintain 3 car lengths distance between us at all times. And then she did what she always did whenever she was near him. She walked into his personal space and put her hand on his chest, before she trailed her hand lower. You and I could have a good time together, Nick, if you'd let us. He pulled her hand away as it neared the waistband of his jeans. I don't think of you like that. You could. And that was the problem. Yeah, and I don't want to be that guy. It's just a short jump from that to wearing obscene Mardi Gras beads and hanging out on Bourbon Street and sexually harassing women who'd rather switch teams than look at me. No offense. I don't want to be the poster boy for why women should consider swearing off men altogether for eternity. I'd rather be a stand-up guy who speaks well for my gender rather than a two-timing man dork. She scoffed at him and raked a sneer over his body that would have shriveled the gender of anyone who possessed lesser conviction. You are a Malachi. Why don't you ever act like one? She shoved him, hard. Furious at her unwarranted attack, Nick tripped and hit the ground. Livia unleashed her wings and took her demon form. Her breathing ragged, she stood over his body, glaring down at him.
You're pathetic, weak, disgusting. You have all the power of the universe to take what you want and you never use it. What is wrong with you?
In that moment, he fully understood what Aaron had tried to teach him earlier. The difference between hatred and pain. This was the pain Aaron had talked about. The anguish Nick had felt all his life of being worthless and despised and of feeling like nothing. That desire not to lash out and hurt others in his hatred, but to prove them wrong whenever they judged him for things he couldn't help. To show them that he wasn't poor gutter trash to be thrown away, that he wasn't invisible, that he was a human being with human feelings, that he mattered. This wasn't hatred in his heart. It was bitter shame. And it burned like a hungry fire in his gut. Throwing his head back, he let the fury of it roll out of him in a fierce, deep roar, one that echoed through the forest and caused animals to take flight and flee in stark terror. His wings shot out as his body instantly transformed to its true Malachi nature, stronger and deadlier than ever. The color faded from Livia's face as she backed away obsequiously. She bowed low before him as she begged and pleaded for his forgiveness. From the darkness around them, Aaron came forward with an arch stare. He wasn't afraid of Nick, only cautious.
Are you in control, boyo?
Nick looked around the forest with his intense sight that not only saw but felt the very air around him. For the first time ever, he was himself in his Malachi's body. There was no rage beast wanting to consume and devour everything within reach. No desire to kill or to maim. He was human and beast. Only more powerful. Fully in control. United. A single creature that understood both sides of its furious nature. The brutal and the compassion. Stunned to silence, Nick allowed the enormity of the moment to wash over him. Could it be? He held his hand up to see the marbled black and red flesh, the clawed hands. Yeah, he was definitely and fully demoned down.
Nick?
Aaron tried again.
Can you understand me?
Yeah, I feel normal, but weird.
Really, really weird.
He sounded even weirder. It was the first time he'd been able to really converse with someone as a demon. Laughing, Aaron winked at him.
You found it, eh?
Nick nodded slowly.
I think I get it, though.
Why you said it could endanger everyone I loved. He shifted back to his human body and brushed his hand through his hair. Yeah, definitely don't try this at home, kids. Only with professional drivers on a closed track. A slow, knowing smile spread across Aaron's face.
But try it again, just to be sure.
Nick did. And again, it worked. For the first time, he had complete control over his body and his powers.
Have I mastered it?
Aaron wasn't so quick to agree.
You're getting there, no doubt. It'll still take more practice.
He offered Nick a proud smile.
Just remember, your temper will always be the key to unlock those powers, and you'll have to ride herd on that temper for all your days. As the Malachi, hatred will forever be your weakness, your undoing, that special place where you'll want to go for comfort. But it's the only place you must avoid at all costs, lest you want to eat your neighbors and family.
Yeah, no. Think I'll pass.
Wise choice, lad.
Livia straightened and watched him with a peculiar light in her eyes, one Nick wasn't quite sure about. But he didn't have time to worry over her. Let her have her tantrum later. Honestly, he was tired of dealing with her and her theatrics. The more he was around her, the more grateful he was for Cody, who never brought drama to his door, other than the demons who followed her there that she couldn't elude. Yet that wasn't her fault. She always did her best to get rid of them first. Right now, he had to save his mom and Caleb. For all he knew, his unknown, mysterious half-brother was nearing the end of his test. And Nick had to beat him to it. While he honestly would be glad to hand over his reins of Malachi to someone else, anyone else for that matter, he couldn't allow his mother to stay asleep. They had to get the berries to wake her. That was his goal. Nick launched his wings, but kept his human body.
Now this was cool.
So, shall we fly to Nemed? With a nod of approval, Aaron turned into the ball of ghost light and led him through the forest, with Larabeth and Livia trailing behind them. Now that Nick was able to access his Malachi powers without them taking him over, they were able to reach the tree in a matter of minutes. Nick also realized that his mission had been a manufactured trick by Cronus and Tiamat. The tree was so tall that without his Malachi wings, he wouldn't have been able to reach the berries at all. They hung too high. But there was also another problem. He frowned up at the fruit that was nestled along the leaf-filled branches. Do I pick the black, green, or red berries?
Blackberries, Livia answered.
Nay, Aaron shouted as Nick reached for them. Nemed blackberries are for death. The green are unripened fruit. The red are what you be needing to revive your loved ones, boyo.
Livia scoffed at him.
He's lying to you, Nick. For once, listen to me.
Nick growled low in his throat, tired of Livia's eternal bickering and whining. Larabeth, which is it?
I was to lead. You're here. You picked the berries you were told.
There was only one problem with that. No one said anything about color-coded berries, Crow Woman. They just said to pick six.
Then pick six and be done with it.
Nick wanted to wring the neck of that unhelpful red crow. He glanced to Livia, who was glaring at him as if she could kill him herself. She might be one of his generals, but every part of him said that he should listen to Aaron. Fine. Then I'm going with the one who calls this place home, and if anyone should know which to pick, Aaron should be he. He reached for the red ones. The moment Nick had all six in his hand, Larabeth opened the portal back to their world. Nick hesitated. Can Aaron return with us?
I brought two in and was only told to take two out. That's all I can do.
Nick scowled as he faced the one person he owed everything to. Without the Pukka, they'd have never made it. It didn't seem right to leave him here and go home after everything Aaron had done for him. Aaron.
It's fine, boyo.
He gave Nick a cheerful smile that didn't quite reach his pale eyes.
Give Zev me best.
Nick nodded glumly, feeling like crap over this. It wasn't fair or right. But then life seldom was. As Nick started to turn to leave through the portal, Livia ran up to him and grabbed his Malachi dagger from his back pocket. Before he could ask her what she was doing with it, she cut his throat and vanished through the portal, then sealed it closed. Stunned by the pain, Nick fell to his knees as he tried to stop the bleeding with his own hands, but it was useless. He was going to die. He couldn't believe what had just happened. Livia had murdered him. After everything he'd done for her, I saved her life, kept her from having to go back to her prison. And this was how she repaid him. Kyrian was right. No good deed goes unpunished. Kneeling by his side, Aaron cawed and summoned a small murder of crows to them. Since he couldn't hold or grasp anything, he had the crows bring straw and brush to make a pillow for Nick's head.
Breathe, Malachi. Stay calm.
Easier said than done. His senses reeled as his fury mounted over her actions. Livia had betrayed him in the worst sort of way. The bitch had cut his throat, literally, and left him to die alone in this realm without friend or family. But there was nothing to be done about it. In a few minutes, he'd bleed out and be gone from this life. Forever. And in that one heartbeat, when his anger and hatred were at their highest point, when all he wanted was vengeance and blood, he let it go and released all that negativity from his body and heart. There was no need in holding on to it now at the very end of his life. Not when he had so many regrets that saddened him and made him wish he'd spent his finite time more productively and with the people who mattered most to him. The biggest regret inside his heart was his inability to save his mother and Caleb. Not being with Cody during these final precious minutes. Yet there was one last regret he could take care of before he died. While it wouldn't render aid to those closest to him, it would to one who had helped them all in the past. At least, he hoped it would. And if he could help one last person before he died, then he could go in peace. His eyesight blurring and fading, he pulled out his grimoire. It and the dagger Livia had stolen were two of the most powerful tools Amalekai had, and the two he'd first mastered. Sort of. No one ever really mastered the grimoire, since it was possessed by an ancient yokai, a mischievous eastern oracle spirit that had been trapped by his father and tricked into the book. The only way to communicate with her was to offer Nashira a blood sacrifice. Blood has power, and yours has more than most. Make sure you guard it and bleed as little as possible. Caleb's words of warning went through his head. A little late, since he was now bleeding all over the place, it saturated his ugly Hawaiian shirt and the ground around him, and it covered the Necravaticon where his father had trapped her centuries ago.
Nashira,
Nick gasped, weakly, hoping this worked and that he could free her before he died.
Hear me and step forward.
Not in words this time, but in your woman's form.
The time has come for you to be restored. A favor to a favor. Amalekai once took you from this world. Now the time has come for Amalekai to return you.
He held the book to his chest and prayed for it to work. The air whipped around him like a violent hurricane, strong and furious. It drove the crows back as a cloud of dark purple smoke rolled out of the grimoire. It rose up into a column by Nick and Aaron's side. A pair of perfect lavender eyes formed to stare incredulously at him. The smoke turned into tendrils of long white hair that was fastened with purple flowers bound in flowering ribbons. Then, ever so slowly, the smoke solidified into the rest of her body. The white crow Tengu that his father had captured centuries ago and bound to his service against her will was a lot tinier than Nick had imagined her, more fragile in appearance, especially given her nasty and biting sarcasm. But in reality, she was similar to a tiny, adorable pixie. Like Simi in her real form, she had pointed ears and a pointy chin. She was so beautiful, in a unique, impish way. How he wished he'd been able to free her in the human realm, and not here. But maybe she'd be able to cross over again, someday. And at least she again was in her own body. Gasping in disbelief, she stared down at her hands and turned them back and forth before she met Nick's gaze.
I'm restored?
Nick nodded and offered her a smile, even as the darkness stole his sight.
With my dying breath, I free you from your slavery. I'm just sorry it took me so long to figure out how to do it.
Chapter 15. Nick came awake slowly as he remembered Livia's vicious attack on him in Agonia, and he knew he was dead. Because I'm an idiot. He'd been looking for treachery to come at him from everyone but the one who'd actually done it. Zev, Dagon, Asheron, Ambrose, Caleb, Aaron, Larabeth, even Cody and Manyara, yet it had been the one he hadn't been paying attention to who'd done it. Yeah, ain't this a bitch. Never failed. Never came from the bus you saw that was blowing the horn and flashing its lights. He was always that sneaky SOB in a small Toyota coming up behind you that you missed. Nick swallowed, wishing things were different, but he knew better. There was no way to have suffered such a vicious neck wound and not feel pain from it, not without death. And he'd never felt better than he did right now. Nothing hurt. He bit his lip, scared to open his eyes and find out where he'd ended up for eternity. He was hoping he'd gone north to a pearly gate where Peter would be waiting with a lengthy list of all the things he'd screwed up in his life. But as the Malachi, he wasn't betting on it.
Please don't let it be really hot here.
Norland's in August was about as hot as he wanted to deal with, and he definitely didn't want to smell rotten eggs for eternity. He'd had enough of Kyrian's dirty laundry for that. And Bourbon Street alleyways after Mardi Gras.
Nick?
A soft, gentle hand stroked his cheek, one that didn't belong to Cody or his mother. Confused, he opened his eyes to find Nashira there.
Am I dead?
A slow smile spread across her beautiful, fragile features.
No. We saved you.
We? She inclined her head to the other side of the room. Nick shifted to see... Holy crap! It was Aaron, only he wasn't a puck anymore. He was now fully restored, too. How had that happened? No longer pale-skinned, Aaron had a glowing, tawny complexion, and he was a tall beast, too, close to Asheron's massive butt-kicking height. Or maybe he just seemed that tall, given his tough aura and that deadly, piercing expression on his face.
What happened to you?
A slow blush crept over Aaron's skin that mottled his cheeks and tempered his badass aura. He shifted slightly in his chair.
Remember what I told you about holding your temper, Malachi?
Yeah?
Hold your temper.
A bad feeling went through Nick. Why are you telling me that? Rising to his feet, Aaron put a little more distance between them, enough that he could bolt if he had to.
That can't be good.
Nick's scowl deepened that someone as powerful and deadly as Aaron would ever be so skittish around him. Honestly, he doubted he could touch him on skill. And given his current condition, he knew he couldn't catch him, so then what was the deal?
In order to save your life, I had to take a small, involuntary blood donation from you.
Nick froze as those words rattled around his three brain cells. You drank my blood?
Aye.
He screwed his face up at the mirror, thought of it. Dude, that's so gross. I hope you brush your teeth afterward. Saw a dentist, drank a gallon of Listerine. Aaron laughed.
I told you, he wouldn't be angry for it.
Nashira took Nick's hand and held it in both of hers before she bowed low to him.
I can't believe that you were dying, and your last act was to think to free me.
Well, I just figured out how to do it, but I wasn't completely sure it would work. I wanted to ask Caleb about it, then he got sick before I could, and all this other crap happened. Since I was dying, I figured it was worth a shot before I went. No need in you being trapped in there for the rest of eternity if you could go free. Tears filled her lavender eyes as she squeezed his hand.
And that is why we work together to save your life. Why we have watched over you and worried that you wouldn't pull through.
Touched by her concern, Nick wasn't sure what to say to that. Aaron came forward finally and handed Nick a small, folded handkerchief. Nick opened it to find the berries he'd picked for his mother and Caleb.
Oh man, this is great, but how do we open the portal now that Larabeth is gone?
Aaron shrugged nonchalantly.
It's not a problem. You're the Malachi. At 11:34, the veils weaken. It's easy for you to open a portal and go through.
11:34? Why then?
Invert it and turn it over.
Nick blinked at Aaron. I'm an idiot with a head injury. Want to help a brother out and make it easy on me? Nashira snorted.
Take it from me. Our Malachi isn't big on riddles or puzzles. He doesn't even like to play Zelda.
Yeah, attention span of a gnat, ADD. Aaron sighed heavily.
It's a numeric cipher for hell. Before it came to mean infernal damnation, it was simply a word that meant hidden behind a veil, or to keep hidden. Even the term hellmouth is an ancient one that was used by my people long before missionaries came to our shores.
Nashira nodded.
Whenever it turns 11:34 over a hellmouth or near a hell gate, the veil thins enough for something to punch its way through from one realm to another. There's always a chance something can come through. It's why you saw so many Zeitjagers earlier. The atmospheric unrest put all the guardians on notice that the portals were about to be accessed.
Aaron crossed his arms over his chest.
Even I knew from here that Noir was trying to cross from Asmodea into the human realm.
Did he make it? Nashira hesitated before she answered his question.
I'm sorry, Nick. They weren't able to stop him.
Fear and dread tangled inside him. If Noir had made it through, then he'd gone after those nearest and dearest to Nick, and most likely Livia was hoovering up to Noir right now. Playtime was over. Ignoring the pain, Nick rose slowly to his feet. What do I need to do to get us through? Aaron snorted disdainfully.
You're the Malachi. Transform to your body, conjure a portal, punch through it.
God, he made it sound so easy. Nashira put her hand on Nick's shoulder.
But don't be hatin' when you do it.
Nick laughed at her reminder. Where are all the riddles and rhymes you were so quick to torment me with in the past? She smiled at him.
I'm no longer locked in the Necroviticon. My desire to make you crazy with them is gone now.
She rose up to kiss his cheek.
My only desire is to help you and to thank you for my freedom.
You're welcome. Nick rolled his shoulders and shook his hands to loosen them. All right, let's try this. Aaron moved to stand by his side so that he could help guide him through it. With a deep breath for courage, Nick tapped his powers and let the strength of the Malachi run through him. For a moment, as he remembered what Livia had done, he felt himself slipping toward the beastly side of it and losing control. But he pulled himself back by sheer force of will. Livia wasn't worth the cost of losing his future, of losing Nakota and his mother. They were the prize. Hoping Aaron and Nashira weren't setting him up like Livia had, Nick did what they said and punched a hole from Agonia back into the mortal realm he called home. For a full terrifying minute, the longest one of his life, he didn't think he could do it. But after a few more nerve-wracking seconds, he finally made the hole through. He allowed Nashira and Aaron to cross over first, and then he followed through and closed the portal.
Where are we?
Aaron asked in a low whisper as he glanced about at the bed and dresser.
My room.
Nick kept his tone barely audible, just in case. Using his telepathy, he reached out to Cody to see where everyone was. She didn't respond. His panic set in. They should all be here, in his house, where it was safe and protected. Why weren't they here? Nashira touched his arm to anchor him.
Breathe, Malachi. Don't panic. Don't get angry. Not until you have more information.
Grateful for her presence, he closed his eyes and used his powers to search the condo. It was empty. Rage tore him apart as he saw the blood and fighting in afterimages that had been recorded by Manyara's spells. Noir had been here, and he'd attacked them all.
Nick, calm yourself.
Honestly, he didn't want to be calm. He wanted Noir's throat. The Malachi in him was a fierce, demanding beast, and right now, it was hungry, bloodthirsty. It craved the throats and hearts of his enemies, of anyone who'd ever done him harm. His breathing ragged as he struggled for control, he opened his eyes to stare at Aaron.
Is this how the world looks to you, too? Do you know what my name means?
Nick shook his head.
Carnage. And slaughter. Back in the time when the Dagda and the Morrigan ruled, there were altars set for me throughout the kingdoms where we were worshipped. The day before a battle was to be fought, three strong warriors, two men and one female, in the prime of their youth, would be sacrificed to me to ensure me favor for their cause and their victory.
And I should take what from all that?
That it was never the blood of my own that I hungered for. It's the throats of my enemies I crave. Their blood that nourishes me hunger and makes me want to feel it washing over me skin and bones until I'm drunk from it. So I understand what you see and feel. That need you have to rip them apart and relish every cry they scream for mercy and death.
Nick took a step to the left. Aaron wrapped his fist in Nick's shirt and pulled him closer, as those pale eyes showed every ounce of furious horror that lived inside the ancient being.
But as a fellow brother, in the deathly arts, I'm telling you now, boyo. Don't give in to that hatred. Remember what I told you. Save yourself while you're able. Don't lose your soul for vengeance. Think of your Nakoda, and let her pull you back from your violent ways. And if there's killing to be done, let me have it. I'm already damned and lost. There's still hope for you, lad.
Aaron released him and stepped back. He clapped a hand against Nick's cheek.
Better?
Not quite sure, but definitely intimidated by the war god, Nick nodded and took a second to get a hold of his emotions. Finally, he had enough control to use Manyara's spells to see what had happened and to let it play out. Yes, his anger wanted control, but he kept a tight leash on it and refused to give in to it. He would not be his father.
I am the Ambrose Malachi,
and he would walk his own path, right or wrong. With a deep, fortifying breath, he looked at Aaron, then Nashira. They're at Caleb's, and they were under one bloody, bad attack. Chapter 16.
We can't hold them! They're busting through!
Cody shouted a warning to Simi, who was holed up in Caleb's bedroom with his body and Charisse's. Demons, crows, insects, you name it, Noir was throwing it at them. Cody hadn't seen anything like this since she'd been in battle against Ambrose, centuries from now. They were losing, and she was terrified. After Noir had taken possession of Zavid, Dagon had bought them enough time to gather Charisse and retreat with her here, out of his reach. But that hadn't lasted long. Noir had found them. Now they were fighting again. Suddenly a bright flash lit the foyer below. Livia appeared in her demon form. Holding her head high, she surveyed the combatants smugly.
"Give up, Nakoda!" she shrieked from the bottom of the stairs. "Nick is dead! I'm the new Malachi!"
She held his sword above her head as proof of her bold declaration. From the balcony above, Nakoda froze as those words hit her like a fist to her heart. No, it wasn't true. It couldn't be true. Tears choked and blinded her as she knocked another arrow on her mother's bow.
"You lie! I don't believe you! You're not powerful enough to take down Nick!"
Cody let fly the arrow at Livia's head. She ducked and sent a blast toward her. It missed and shattered the window over Cody's head.
"Whose blood do you think covers me?"
Livia asked.
"I cut his throat with his own sword!"
Even though Livia had the Malachi sword, Cody refused to believe Nick was dead. She'd feel it if he was gone. It was a trick.
"You lie!" she growled.
Nick knew better than to die on her. She'd never forgive him for that. Never! The entire house shook as Noir and Thorn and Manyara went at each other outside. Cody was about to run out of ammunition. Beleaguered and exhausted, she hadn't been this tired since she'd fought against Nick beside her brother. Lightning flashed, rain poured, and demonic screams echoed all around. Still, she fought on. It was what her parents had taught her to do, past the pain, past the exhaustion. Never give up, never give in. Livia rose with the sword.
"All of you!" she screamed violently. "Listen to me! You have to obey me now! I am the Malachi! I have his power! I took his blood and his sword!"
As those shrill words carried, the fighting slowly came to a stop. Even Noir. Covered in blood, he returned to the room to stand by Livia's side.
"What is this?"
She held the sword out for his inspection.
"I used the Malachi sword to cut his throat and take his power. I am the leader of the Usumgalu. Hear me, Kronos and Tiamat, god of order and goddess of chaos. I am now your lead servant, the one who will oversee the final battle."
Manyara and Thorn appeared next to Cody's side on the balcony, as did a wounded Zev and Dagon.
"What madness is this?"
Zev growled. Tears filled Manyara's eyes.
"It's not possible. Not my Nicky."
Tiamat appeared before Olivia and held her hand out.
"Let me see the sword."
Tucking her wings in, Livia handed it over. The goddess examined it before she nodded.
"It is indeed the Malachi's sword, and it bears the blood of Ambrose."
Unable to breathe and choking on her sobs, Cody fell to her knees as she heard those words of bitter confirmation. Her only solace was that Charisse wasn't awake to hear them too. It would kill her to know that Nick was dead. Zev picked her up and cradled her against his chest, but there was nothing that could comfort her while she hurt like this. Nothing other than Livia's throat. Her mind set on vengeance, Cody pushed herself away from him and started forward, but Zev caught her in his arms. "Don't you dare. They'll kill you."
"Let them. He's all I have."
Sobs racked her entire body, as pain and grief permeated every molecule of her being. Her heart felt as if it had been ripped out. She couldn't lose anyone else. She was tired of burying those she loved, tired of saying goodbye.
Tiamat handed the sword back to Livia. "Pick your generals, Malachi."
Grimm and Laguerre stepped forward with cocky grins. Livia walked past them both. Just as she was about to pick random demons, a deep Cajun drawl rang out in the room.
"Oh, no, you didn't. Put my sword down. You get bitch cooties all over it. Don't know if I'll ever be able to sandblast them off that handle, you skank."
Cody's breath caught in her throat. Her gaze blurred by tears, she scanned the crowd until she saw the tall, proud, black and red-skinned winged Malachi. Ambrose. Oh, she should hate that body with every last bit of her soul, but right then, she wanted to kiss him.
"Nick,"
she breathed, as relief coursed through her veins. He flew into the room with two others she didn't recognize, but by the way Zev stiffened, it was obvious he knew at least one of them. Livia turned on Nick with a shriek.
"No! I killed you! You're dead! I saw it!"
Nick scoffed in that arrogant way only he could.
"Obviously not. Really, we need to talk about your aim. Good thing you're not a man, 'cause they'd ban you from restrooms all over town, run you out on rails."
When she went to attack, Nick threw his arm out and yanked his sword from her grasp. Then he pinned her to the wall with his powers and faced Tiamat. Nick was in no mood to play with the ancient goddess. While he was well aware of the fact that she could splinter him to pieces, he really didn't care.
"I'm assuming I passed your test?"
All she did was nod.
"Good. Does this mean I get to pick my generals now?"
Again, she nodded. Nick's gaze never left hers as he rattled off his list with ease. "Nashira, Zev, Dagon, Aaron, Cody, Caleb."
"You can't do that,"
Grimm and Laguerre protested in unison. Tiamat quirked her lips.
"Actually, he can choose whomever he wishes to lead his armies. That is his prerogative."
She turned back toward Nick.
"But be warned with that lineup, Malachi. You have chosen one of the most powerful groups ever assembled. Together, they could wield enough power to one day kill you."
Nick inclined his head to her.
"I'm counting on it."
Tiamat and Cronus closed ranks around Noir.
"Time for you to return to your realm."
"No,"
he snarled.
"That wasn't the deal."
Cronus shrugged.
"The balance is maintained. And Ambrose has proven himself worthy of his bloodline. He bested his competition, passed every test, and resurrected himself. He's even subdued his old generals and chosen new ones. Order is restored, and he's claimed his birthright."
Tiamat wrinkled her nose.
"Deal with it."
Noir's hate-filled gaze went straight to Nick.
"I know who you are now, boy. This is only the beginning."
Nick crossed his arms over his chest and lifted his chin with every bit of stubborn Cajun pride he possessed.
"You might know my name and face, but you know nothing about me personally, and that's your mistake. If you did, you'd know not to threaten me or mine."
He raked a sneer over Noir's body.
"If you think you can take me, you better not come alone."
He cast his gaze around at the bodies on the floor.
"And don't forget to stock up on body bags before you do."
With a furious growl, Noir vanished and took a screaming Livia with him. Grimm exchanged a furious glower with Laguerre before he closed the distance between him and Nick. In full Reaper mode, he stood toe-to-toe with Nick's Malachi form.
"This little slight here today will not be forgotten, boy. So let me put Noir's sentiments into words you and your little demon tears can fully understand."
He swept his gaze around to each of them.
"Consider yourselves served. It's on, bitches."
With a snap of his bony fingers, he, Laguerre, pain and suffering all vanished from the room.
"On what?"
Dagon asked. Snorting, Cody explained while Nick looked around for Zavid. Manyara gave a sad shake of her head.
"Zavid's gone, Nick. I'm sorry. Livia sacrificed him to bring Noir over to this realm."
"No."
Nick couldn't believe it, as pain for his friend racked him.
"What about Caleb?" "He's upstairs, still unconscious. She tried with him, but he was too powerful. Even asleep, he fought her."
"Thank God for that.
My mom?"
Cody approached him slowly.
"She's with Caleb, and Simi's guarding them both."
Breathing in relief and grateful beyond measure to his friends, he finally transformed back into his human body. Now that he no longer looked like the creature who'd coldly murdered her and her brother, Cody brushed her hand through his hair.
"Should I ask about the new Malachi you?"
He gave her a sheepish grin before he pulled her into his arms and buried his face in her neck so that he could inhale that sweet vanilla scent that always made his head spin.
"I found a way to control it. At least for now."
She held him close.
"I hope you know what you're doing."
"Never," he snorted, then kissed her. Thorn sauntered over to Nick and let out a weary breath as he eyed him.
"I hope to God you know what you're doing with this new group you've chosen, kid."
By the way he stared at Aaron, Nick had a feeling there was some serious history between them, but neither gave a clue as to what it was. Same with Thorn and Dagon. Holding tight to Cody, Nick shrugged at Thorne's warning.
"At least I know something about these Saras and their loyalties."
Thorn snorted.
"Familiarity breeds contempt."
And with that warning, he left them alone. Nick watched as Zev stared at Aaron in utter disbelief. He circled around him as if he were afraid to touch him.
"You're corporeal."
"How?"
"I borrowed a little blood."
Aaron cast a sheepish gaze toward Nick. Zev gaped.
"He didn't kill you for it?" "Not yet."
Shaking his head, Zev held his hand out to Aaron, who hesitated before he took it. Zev pulled him in for a man hug.
"Thank you, little brother."
Aaron nodded. Zev kissed him lightly on the head before he released him. He stepped back and met Nick's curious stare.
"I owe him my life in ways you can't even begin to imagine."
Nick held his hands up in surrender. "Hey, I don't judge. My own life's too screwed up for that. To each his own." As everything slowly returned to normal, Nick and Cody went upstairs with Aaron and Zev to give the berries to his mom and Caleb and return them to normal.
"Are you sure this is going to work?"
Nick asked as they carefully dispensed the berries' juices. Aaron gave him a droll stare.
"You're not seriously asking that, are you?"
He'd barely finished speaking before Caleb woke up choking and gasping. The minute he saw them in his room, he cursed Zev.
"What's he doing in my house?"
Zev sighed heavily.
"Nice to have you back, brother."
He vanished a minute later. Nick let out a tired breath.
"You know, he saved your life today."
Caleb glared at him and scoffed.
"No, Nick, he took my life when he allowed my enemies to have my wife's, and I wish to the gods that you'd never allowed him to go free."
"Is that why you're trying to bargain for your freedom?" Caleb scowled at him.
"What new paint fumes have you been inhaling?"
"Livia told me that you'd been summoning stronger powers in an effort to break free of me for a while now." Caleb pressed his hand to his head as if he had a severe migraine,
What? Are you totally stupid? Wait, it's you. I know that answer.
He let out a slow breath before he spoke again. Look, dumbass. I don't care what stupidity Livia has filled your head with. The only person who could possibly free me from you, outside of a grisly death and damnation I'd rather not face, is my father. And I wouldn't trust him for anything. Not that he would do it anyway, since he's currently Noir's right hand. To get free of you, I'm rather sure he'd require I unleash you on the world, which would defeat the purpose of being free of you, so no. I haven't been trying to get free of you, as there is no point in it. Caleb scratched at his face. Besides, I'm getting way too attached to your annoying stupidity. You're like a pet that chews up my favorite shoes. He should probably be offended by that, but coming from Caleb's surly hide, that was a deep avowal of love. I'm glad you're not dead. Today? Nick left the room, only to hear Caleb's shout about why and how Dagon was there. Ignoring him, and leaving it for Manyara to explain, Nick joined Simi in the guest room, and waited with bated breath until his mom opened her blue eyes. She scowled up at him before she slowly glanced around the room.
Where am I? How did I get here?
Don't you remember, Ma?
No.
Our power went out. We came over to Caleb's. You were on the stairs when the storm broke the window and some of it hit you. You fell. Nick committed that lie to memory so that he could confess it to the priest on Saturday. Of course, he had a lot to talk to the priest about, most of which left Father Jeffrey thinking he was writing a novel. But that was okay with him. He was just grateful that he was alive and that his mother was still with him. Which reminded him of one more extremely important thing he had left to do. Epilogue. Nick, Simi, Cody, and Dagon stood deep in the bowels of Tartarus, where Simi's scary room was located. She was right. It was kind of slimy where they kept the Eye of Ananke. But for once, they'd had an easy time getting to it, since their guide was the son of the goddess Hecate. Turns out, if you're friends with a friend of Hades, and your mom is best friends and the handmaiden of Persephone, you're gold to visit his realm. All Hecate had demanded was a kiss and hug from her son. Simi picked up the dark green gem and handed it to Nick.
Ooh, sparkly. So what's this for anyway?
Not real sure. Dagon took it out of Nick's hands and pressed it to Nick's forehead.
It functions like a third eye. You place it there, and you can see the future.
Nick fell silent as he saw not just the future, he saw all of them. It was like being in the alternate universe all over again, only this time he saw every universe, including this one. Now he understood exactly what Ambrose had been talking about. No wonder his future self had been so freaked out by everything. There, before him, he saw clearly every single mistake each of them would make that would bring them closer to the end of the world. It was horrifying.
But the one question still remained. Could it be stopped before it was too late?
This is Halter Graham. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Instinct by Sherilyn Kenyon. This program was produced by Scott Sherritt. Executive producer, Laura Wilson. Recorded by Matty Azharopoulos at Merlin Studios. Text copyright 2015 by Sherilyn Kenyon. Production copyright 2015 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.